I'm Lizzie Cooperman, and I have a brand new podcast called Lizzie Cooperman's In Your Hands, produced by Starburns Audio. And guess what? You're in it. That's right. I'm doing an experiment where every week I crowdsource a major decision in my life. Do I move in with my boyfriend or move in with my grandma's boyfriend? Apply at Jamba Juice or apply a prosthetic chin? Sell my car or sell my homemade Frosties? Yes, I know how to make Frosties at home, and I'm willing to disclose the recipe to the public. You are truly at the helm of my life as I consult experts, hilarious guests, and magic eight balls. So after you listen to an episode, go to my Instagram stories, vote, and I'll have 24 hours to take action. If you enjoy me at all, please listen. If you don't enjoy me, this is a great way to get revenge. You could truly vote for me to become a mortician. And I say that with the utmost respect for the industry. This would be a great time to go wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. We can finally, once and for all, find out what happened with Judas Priest. Whether they broke up by themselves, or they were pushed out by outside forces, like the government.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Just got back yesterday from a sweet little run up in the Pacific Northwest. Good shows.
Hell
thank
yeah, buddy.
Thank you, everyone. And thanks everybody in Vancouver and Seattle and Spokane. Except for that one guy that I had to kick out in Vancouver. It was a great show.
What? Do tell.
Just a drunk guy at a show. He was yelling at Sean Jordan, where Sean like played with him for a bit. And then he was like, hey, shut the fuck up. And then I went up there and it was like, I think gave the guy like a half dozen chances of like, come on, man, we're not doing that. And then finally it wasn't even mean. It was just like I have a comment for every third joke you tell. And I was like, fuck you. Get the fuck out. Like yeah. I got mean about it.
Yeah.
But it's one of those ones like the whole rest of the audience is like, yes, finally. Thank God. But you know, hey, I'm not going to let it ruin a good time otherwise. And then it was nice getting kicked out. Sean was in the lobby, and the guy was like, well, can I finish my drink at least? Like, wasn't even, like, doing the fuck you. I gave me my money back. And he's like, I think I might go to this bar. And the bouncer's like, yeah, go to any bar. That's fine. Just don't stay here.
Especially when you give them so many chances. Like, dude, I don't want to do this. I don't want to stop the show and have this disruption of you being kicked out. But goddamn.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb. It's pretty dumb that someone is drunk enough to not take a hint, which I'm sure, ladies, you're miles ahead of me on making that statement in the world.
Of course. Ugh.
But, hey, whatever. Still a fun show. Seattle, oh, my goodness, always the best. And Spokane, man, Spokane turned out at the Knitting Factory Saturday night.
Awesome.
Yeah. I like Spokane. Thanks, everybody. Yeah.
Well, good, buddy. I'm glad you had a good run.
Yeah, and now I'm just back. I've went to the gym today, tried to steam room out some of my sins.
What'd you get into?
I rode my real bike to pedal a fake bike for 20 minutes.
That's perfect.
Hey, man, we're going to be talking about the metaverse. That's what it's going to be like. But we're going to talk about that goddamn metaverse, dude.
Uh-huh. I have a lot more questions.
I have some after watching that movie, too. But then I lifted things with my arms one way for 40 times. I lift them a different way. I pushed things for 40 times a different way.
Okay.
And then I got on this little core machine, which you just look like you're doing a little inchworm thing, just real face down, ass up in the middle of the gym.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. just my perky little downtown meat star up in the sky for everybody to see. I hope I'm doing that right. They got diagrams on these things, but I don't know, man. I don't know what I'm doing over there.
Oh, perky little downtown meat star.
There was some LA Times article about a restaurant, like a barbecue restaurant, like downtown meat star, meaning like this was like a famous barbecue restaurant in downtown LA. I'm like, that's not the words you should use for that. Downtown meat star? Oh, no. My mind didn't even think for a second that was a restaurant. My mind went right to buttholes. Like, immediately. I had to read the article because I'm like, is this about buttholes? Oh, it's about a barbecue restaurant. That's misleading.
It took me years to figure out that stupid-ass Limp Bizkit album, what is it, Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavored Water? I didn't know what the fuck he was supposed to be referring to with that until, oh, buttholes, got it.
What's the Hot Dog Flavored Water? Is that just
no idea. I didn't get that far into it.
Puss juice?
Oh.
Puss juice.
Maybe that's it. What a poet that guy.
Not
is.
My kind of humor. Not here on the family friendly Boogie Monster podcast.
That's right. Not at all, buddy.
Yeah. Did the gym. Came home. You picked up the phone with something in your mouth.
Yeah. Right when you said I just got back from the gym. The gym and the crunch of my potato chip coincided, and I was like, oh, we're having two different days. But that's all right.
For the listeners, Dave said he went to a sandwich place where they made homemade potato chips. They make them out of potatoes over there. That's what Dave told me. It's like, oh, no shit, Dave. They're making their homemade potato chips out of real potatoes.
Man.
How about that?
I love it when things line up the way they should.
I had a Nature Valley granola bar. Nature Valley, their theme should be just eat this outside. I started to open it in the house. I'm like, what am I doing? Go stand outside. Stand in the yard.
Oh, it's very crumbly.
And eat this. Oh, yeah. It's like a kid playing with Play-Doh. Do that outside.
And those
I don't want that shit all over the house.
Those are hard on the teeth, too. I'll just smash it with a hammer, put it in a bowl, and put some milk on it. Eat it like cereal.
It really is. They're adding an unnecessary step to granola of like, normally this would be loose, and you'd have it with yogurt. Mm-hmm. We've pressed it into a Duraflame-type log whose entire constitution will fall apart with one bite.
Yeah.
So it tasted good. I needed something quick before we recorded on account of me doing 40 of the pushes and 40 of the pull-ins and then 40 of the check out my basement's on the roof right now. What is that? Is that the phrase? Does that mean anything? Put my basement on the roof for everybody to see it. Fuck. All right. What's hot to trot with you, Dave? How's your weekend?
Oh man, I'm good. I'm good, dude.
Yeah, you got them potato chips you like so much.
Yeah, I've just been eating some potato chips. I haven't joined a gym yet, but I've been throwing my kettlebells around a lot. I don't have the treadmill any longer. It's in storage because we're on the second floor, and I just thought there's no way that's going to work.
That's polite, though.
Yeah.
You just swinging them around on the sidewalk like a madman, or are you keeping it inside?
No, I'm doing them in my record room / podcast office / gym. So I got all my kettlebells in here and just slinging them around. Although I'm a little paranoid being on the second floor. I got some big ones. My biggest kettlebell's 55, and I sling it around sometimes. But I just have these visions of it slipping out of my hand like a bowling ball, like you see people bowl and it stays in their hand too long and they basically throw it and like
just takes you through the drywall.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm thinking even worse. Like if it flew through the air, didn't make it to the wall, but then landed on the ground, on the floor. I mean, do you think that would 55 pounds? Do you think that would crash through to my downstairs neighbor's apartment?
I'm not trying to be rude, Dave, but how much do you weigh?
That's true. I never put those together. Okay. But, yeah.
And you're on the second floor right now.
Yeah, that's true. I did. I got. I was really high a couple weeks ago while I was taking a shower, and I had that thought because the shower kept creaking, and I'm like, man, what are the odds one day I just fucking smash through her bathroom? That would be awful. Naked and wet. Oh, Lord.
Surprise. Who's a slippery angel from the heavens? That they do have to take that into account. I mean, like waterbeds, people don't realize how much added weight that adds. Yeah. You know, that is. Mm-hmm. When my sister worked at the Steve Harvey show at Universal Studios, mm-hmm. and she was like, she like worked in production, but was like, you know, kind of a fix it person around there. And she had to tell, he wanted to put a gym on a certain floor of like the building he was using. And she's like, you can't, it's not rated because the amount of like gym equipment's heavy.
Yeah.
And she's like, it's the building's not rated to put that in there. So you can't have it. He's like getting pissed at her.
Huh?
It's like, sorry, Steve.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that, I mean, it's not a while. I mean, I think 55 pounds, well, you got hardwood floors.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, and I don't know the sound, physics.
The sounds you're making without drop. Yeah, the sounds you're making without. I bet you're creaking and swaying.
Yeah, but I'm light on my feet. I purposely try to be light on my feet around here. But I don't know the physics and the science behind a 55-pound cast iron ball going about 6 feet in the air and then dropping. You know, maybe, and because it's smaller than me, maybe just that centralized force. I hope it never happens.
Yeah, I don't think from 6 feet up you're going to get to terminal velocity.
Okay, yeah, hopefully not.
But I mean, it's still not. I mean, I wouldn't go. Yeah, I wouldn't go trying it. Testing the waters.
Yeah, man.
I hate the. Oh, I got so high I did that. But I like last night getting ready to go to bed. I got my one little vape pen. I haven't really been touching the weed that much. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, oh, I haven't hit this vape pen in a while. I wish I could, like the little vape cartridges, I never know what they are after I use them. I take them out of the box, throw the box away. That's my fault. But I don't know what it is. I took one puff of it. I was out of my fucking mind last night.
Really?
I took a shower. I couldn't remember. I don't know if I was in the shower for 5 hours or 7 minutes. I'm like, I'd lather up and rinse. Like, did I wash my ears? Then I'd wash my ears. And I'd rinse my ears. Like, wait a minute. Did I wash my ass? Hold on. Lather up. I'd probably wash my body 5 times, mm-hmm. rinsed, got out of the shower, still had soap in my ears. And then laid in bed. Rachel was asleep already. I was laying in bed. Normally, I listen to, like, headphones or something. But I'm like, let's try to not. The worst is when, like, I'll be fidgety and she's trying to sleep. But then if I'm high, I get hyper sensitive. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to lay still, like to not bother, which is the worst. Mm-hmm. 'Cause then you're high and you're locked up. And I kept thinking like, this is so immature, but like, what if I had like, what if I just had to shit the bed?
Oh no.
Like the loudest Frappuccino Harley Davidson fart,
uh-huh.
in the dead silence. And then I was about to start laughing so hard. And I'm like, I can't move. I'm laying there like I'm in a sarcophagus thinking about farts. And then I think about how old I am. And then I get sad that that's my level of humor.
Oh,
like it was so much, dude. It's so much. It was, mm-hmm. I don't know what this weed is, but it was too much.
Hmm. Yeah,
I don't know if you get. Did you seem to know how to chill out. You seem to know how to just smoke and be like, hell yeah, I'm comfortable with who I am.
Yeah, man,
and I'm going to enjoy myself.
I mean, yeah, every now and then I fear that I might crash through my own shower, but other than that, it doesn't make me paranoid.
God, good for you, man.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm like, oh, that noise. What is that? Is that a car right outside? And then I moved a little bit, and that noise was so loud. I'm like, that's definitely not a car idling out in front of the house. Mm-hmm. If I can hear myself blinking, it was an ordeal, Dave. I'm telling you, buddy.
Man,
testament to this quality of weed.
Speaking of showers.
Speaking of.
What story could I tell? No, this isn't that exciting. But it just made me think, dude, you know, we got the new place, so we got a new bathroom, you know, whole new setup. And it's fun getting used to, like, new appliances and new setups, you know, when you move. I've always loved this, and I haven't had this for years, but we have the coveted window in the bathroom. There's a window, and it's actually right next to the shower. So you take a really hot shower and crack that window open. It's up high. It starts like chest level and goes up. So no one can see what's going on in there. But I'll crack it about 4 or 5 inches And especially at night here lately, at night it's been real, you know, kind of brisk. Get that cool air coming in, mixing with that hot steam. Oh boy, that's a good time.
I know what you're talking about. Simple pleasures, buddy.
Dude, and like seriously, not to just rehash it, but like no one appreciates a fucking good shower more than me after all those years of going through the gauntlet of old Russian balls just to get to the fucking LA Fitness shower. Oh my God. But to just walk down the hall and take my own private shower. That's the other thing. Like we didn't even have stalls. Yeah, we just had like the big, you know, locker room gym shower.
Really?
Just a bunch of old saggy Russian guys, just balls everywhere. And I'm just like, God, I'm just trying to grab a quick shower. Good Lord, what am I doing with my life?
As I've said, I enjoy the openness. I mean, I'm not there to look at anybody else's stuff, yeah, and they don't have to look at mine. But I like, you know, it's got to be like echolocation or something for my genitals.
Yeah.
Like, oh, for the first time, there's not something just a foot away. You know, yeah, it's like, oh, look at that. There's like a distance out there for it.
Yeah, that would be fun. Like to have that locker room shower all to yourself. And you've got like 12 different shower heads coming in at all different angles. That would be nice. Like the shower equivalent of an oversized bathtub. That'd be nice.
Those car wash showers where they got the jets that come out of the side and they got the ones like even underneath where you could like Rusty Jones your business, you know?
I was just thinking of like the big the big moppy things coming down.
You want the brush? You want the brushes brush. That come down and get your whole body?
Yeah, the big like steamroller brush and then the mops, the floppy mop things that come down. That'd be fun to have in your shower.
You know what, Dave? I'll tell you this. You get yourself one of those. You ever see the cow? They have those. They're called cow brushes because like they're just a brush on a post and cows like to rub up against it.
Uh-huh.
You get one of those in the shower, like a loofah, like a big tall loofah.
Yes.
That you just roll. You rub your whole back on it.
Yeah.
Loofah wall, Dave.
Loofah wall. You're fucking genius, Kyle. That's a great idea.
Why is nobody I mean, they put them on a stick, but then you're still doing all the work.
Yeah, you mount it to the wall the same way I just bought a cat scratcher, like a
cylinder-shaped
cat scratcher that I mount to the wall. That way they can kind of stretch out and grab it. Same thing.
Like a paper towel dispenser. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
God damn.
That's a great idea.
We sell that idea. We can quit this podcast. I'll tell you that much. These two idiots invented the loofah wall.
Oh.
Millionaires.
Oh, man.
I mean, they're in debt. They're in debt millions of dollars.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to say millionaires. I meant to say they're in debt for trying to sell walls made out of loofah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, did you want black mold 30 years before your house is due to get it? There's a loofah wall. There's a wall that's always wet in your own home.
Yeah,
I like it. Yeah, I got private stalls at the health club. I'll call it the health club.
There you go. That's nice.
More a minute. Yeah. Yeah.
Feel that good. Is, I feel like seriously, that if I ever had money to like custom build a house, like I would really invest a lot into the bathroom. I would love to have a floor length urinal. That's always been one of my fantasies. Just those,
I mean,
even the wall.
You have a shower.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's step one. But like, oh, imagine those old school urinals that go all the way to the floor. Just the convenience. You don't have to aim too well. That'd be nice.
Yeah, I did. I'm like, I'm going to point it down so it's not splashing back on me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if I would spend money on the shower tub situation.
Yeah.
Definitely jacuzzi mm-hmm. tub. Big shower with a bench in it.
Ooh, yeah, that'd be nice. Take a break. Take a load off.
With a steam option.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you want to take a shower, but you can steam first in that same little room. Many of these steam rooms right now, Dave, I'm telling you.
Yeah, that would be nice.
My pores have never been more open.
I've been doing the thing where I finish the shower cold and see how cold I can get it.
That's good. That close. You open up the pores to clean it, and then the cold closes the pores, so you get that smooth skin. Yeah. Do you have a skincare regimen, Dave? I mean, this is not the metaverse yet. This is the very real verse.
Yeah. I'm working on it. Katie's trying to get me on some sort of routine. At the very least, every now and then I'll put a little lotion on my face. So I figure that's the first step.
Yeah. That's if I get high, I know you're not supposed to look at yourself in the mirror when you're on mushrooms or acid. But if I'm stoned, drunk, I look. It's. I mean, it's the classic shit. But drunk, I look at myself in the mirror. I'm like, you're doing fine for 45. I'm going to give you a 7, Kyle. But stoned, I look like a black and white National Geographic photograph of like the last guy who survived the Titanic. I am so depressed if I look at myself in the mirror stoned.
Oh, man. That's funny. Yeah, I do that sometimes. Like, what are you doing, buddy? What is this?
This guy remembers when the coal mine opened.
Oh, man. We're fucking old, dude. We're getting old.
Yeah, so I'm moisturizing. That's about it. Once in a while, I do a little mud mask. It's fun. You do it with the missus?
Yeah, I do those every now and then. Those are fun.
Yeah.
We're public figures.
We got to take care of the mugs.
I had to convince Katie to delete an Instagram photo she made of herself, a selfie while wearing a mud mask. I had to explain to her that in this sensitive day and age, it's probably not a good idea because the mask was black.
I did that too. If somebody wants, everybody knows what it is, and I just made a joke that I was hiding from the predator. So if somebody else wants to be like, it's mud and it's good for your face. It happens to be that color. I'm not going to like, if somebody wants to jump to that conclusion, I feel like at that point that's on them.
Yeah, absolutely.
For being, that was this will tie into a plug. There's a, but I got the vinyl out now, you know?
Yes.
For Death of the Party.
I almost bought that the other day, dude.
I give you one.
I know. I was like, and then the same day you're like, I'll get you one. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
I'll bring some down there for you.
Cool,
Dave. Come on.
Yeah, I really would
appreciate
like
it. But come on,
I have your whole discography other than Loose in Chicago. I can't find that one. Those are hard to find.
I don't even know if I have them. So I'm glad you got them. I don't even know if I got them. But the album, it's. Like red background and the arts in pink, like the visage or whatever of me is pink. It was going to be a pink background with me in red and all the lettering in red. And it was going to come out, came out June of 20, which was like a month after all the George Floyd stuff. And everybody was like, the red kind of looks a little close to maybe you representing yourself as a different race. And I'm like, I don't think so at all. But because it was the time that it was coming out, they're like, what if we invert these colors? I'm like, I guess. But even my buddy who did the art, he's like, fucking really? Like, it's not, it's just colors. But but you have to remember at that time, it was June. So all the George Floyd shit happened in May. So it was like super tense.
Yeah.
And I wasn't so married to the colors, and I had to ask the guy who did the art. I'm like, are you super married to it? Because I'll go with, you know, I want to put out what you intended to put out. He's like, no, we could flip it. He's like, I still think it looks good with the colors inverted. But that's also a way to say that, yeah, there's vinyl of Trampoline in a Ditch available on my website. And if you go, you'll go to Anxious. It'll take you to Anxious and Angry, which is my merch guy. And if you enter code DIRTNAP, I think it's still active, code DIRTNAP, you get 20% off any piece of Kinane or Boogie Monster merch.
Well, hell yeah.
When you purchase the vinyl, it's a triple vinyl. It's $40. I know it's a little steep, but it's three. You get three records. 2.5, really.
Yeah, that's about that's about par for the course now with a triple vinyl.
Is it? I was talking to Ryan, the guy who does the merch. He's like, no, this price is actually not bad for this.
So yeah, about 36 to about 44 usually is what you're going to pay. I mean, sometimes just the double vinyl I'll see for like $36. Like, geez. But yeah, definitely a triple vinyl. That's a fair price on a triple vinyl.
Okay. Yeah, you know this world. I don't know this world. Somebody wants these things. But yeah, so that's available. And, go ahead, sir.
No, I was just saying, speaking of which, I set up the record room, you know, when we moved in. I got a third bin now, and I did kind of a rough inventory the other day, and I got about 1,000 albums now. So that just seems...
Really?
Yeah, got about 1,000.
How much space? I'm looking at a box of 100, but they're the triple ones. And that looks like it's about 14 by 14 square for these. What's a how much does 1,000 records take up? How much space?
I've got three bins. They're all two of them are exactly the same size, and the third one is similar. And I would say, actually, I'm sending you a picture right now just so you have some visual aids. I would say
milk crates. How many milk crates worth? You know.
Okay, so each section is about a milk crate. So I've got 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's see, 8, 12. Probably about 32 milk crates. Probably somewhere. Maybe, maybe 28, something like that. Yeah. Yeah, it's becoming excessive, but.
And that's all in the office there?
It's fun to have a hobby. Yeah, I just sent you a picture. So, but yeah, man.
Ding dong.
I'm enjoying it. I get in here and he's fucking just kind of flip through my little records. Like, ooh, I like this one. I like, oh, I'm going to listen to that one. Ooh, that one looks good. But yeah, it's fun. Just get in here and rock out.
Just swinging your kettlebells around. Does that make the record skip? Like, I like our record player nowadays is so good that they rarely skip if you're, like, dancing around and everything.
No, no. Mine skip for sure. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of times when I'm doing the kettlebells, I'll switch over to Bluetooth for that exact reason. So.
Okay. All right.
But, yeah, they're still pretty sensitive.
I like it. Like what you got going on. I'm happy for you, Dave.
Thanks, buddy. I'm having a good time over here. Having a real, real nice time.
Ugh. Well, not, I'm glad you're having a nice time in the universe.
Yes, in the real world.
In the real world. But to continue our discussion from last week, goddamn metaverse, dude.
It's metaverse, man. We both agreed to watch Ready Player One. Kind of give a good in that movie. They call it the Oasis, basically. Same concept as the metaverse, but yeah, it did help me get a little bit better of an understanding in terms of the practicality behind it, like, or the functionality in terms of how you actually go about things in the metaverse.
So, Ready Player One. As suggested by the Reddit forum, we listen to you guys. We appreciate it. A lot of people talking about how the book was better than the movie. Probably, I'll be honest, Dave. I don't want to speak for you, but we're probably not going to get to the book. Just you know, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think we're going to read science fiction books, but like we, you know. I think you like the movie, right? We were saying.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I don't typically, this one kind of went under my radar because I don't typically seek out any, I'm sure I probably saw the trailer, you know, back whenever this was made, 2018 or whatever, but anything, just my default reaction of like anything sci-fi or video game-esque, I'm like, eh, that's not for me. But I'm glad I watched it because it was fun shifting gears and watching something like this for a change.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I don't normally go to sci-fi for my default enjoyment, but this was fun. And you know, the 80s. I texted you because like I was confused why there was all the 80s references. I think I missed. And I try to be like, let's leave the phone down. Let's sit and watch this movie. Don't do stuff while the movie's on. You know. Even though apparently. Chris Rock was getting slapped in the face by Will Smith. I was watching this movie instead. So I thought, I was like, why is it set in the 80s in the future? It's because the guy who created the Oasis was filling it with pop culture. He was a pop culture junkie, and that's why he filled it with all these references.
Yeah.
So I was allowing a lot of stuff. Whereas if I just turned it on, without like having this assignment, I think I might have been quick to dismiss.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to be better about dismissing things quickly. At the gym earlier today, there was a guy working out the big gold chain. And I was like, man, what a choice.
With a big gold chain.
What a choice to wake up on a Monday morning and be like, you know what? I'm going to look like a dickhead today. But then I was like, good for you. Like, I don't know. Maybe he changed and didn't. He's used to wearing his big old gold chain, and he was in the gym, like, all right, I'm gonna work out with my gold chain on. And then I got to the point, I'm like, good for you for working out with a big gold chain. That's ridiculous.
Like, how big thing. Was it?
You're not. It wasn't the thick one. It was like long, like it hung. Like, so like it's not like, oh, it's a pain to get on and off. It's like, no, it was long. Okay. It was like hung down to his mid chest. And I see it. He had a tripod, so maybe he's making his videos or whatever.
Man, he works out with his
gold chain on. I was making a tweet about like, hey, I saw this guy. He looked like a dickhead. I'm like, I'm tweeting about a guy who looks like a dickhead. I'm making a tweet at the gym. So who's a dickhead?
Yeah.
And I stopped. I put it in the drafts. But again, trying to not just have knee jerk reaction. This movie, since it was an assignment, like, all right, I'm going to go into it with an open mind. And I enjoyed it. Thanks to the Reddit folks for suggesting this in regards. And I thought it answered a lot of questions that we were talking about last week as far as what's the value of living in it. Like, so that showed kind of a dystopian future where nothing's going, like the actual world's kind of shitty. Mm-hmm. And so everybody escapes into that realm.
I like how they had the way it's set in Columbus, Ohio, I think in 2045, something like that. And I love the kind of stack and pack dystopian landscape, how everything was upward, you know, because it's...
Oh, the vertical trailer park?
Yeah, the vertical trailer park. I thought that was pretty interesting. Because, I mean, that seems like where we're headed just in terms of, I don't know, overpopulation and whatnot, suburban sprawl is just eventually going to eat up the entire landmass, and now we're just going to have to build upward.
Yeah, I mean, double wide or double tall, you know, it's that's why cities started. Like, oh, land is expensive, but sky is free.
Yeah.
So, the sprawl going outwards, but even more so, proving that everybody exists in that universe, in the oasis. But that shows you how you could go to work in that environment. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they already showed, it's weird that movie came out in 2018 or something. And like, there's a Pizza Hut drone. I was like, that's not far off.
Yeah. I noticed that.
That's certainly not far off.
Oh man. It made me think, we touched briefly last week about the concept of real estate inside the metaverse. And my simple question is, how does land in the metaverse have value if there's potential for infinite acreage? Mm-hmm. Like, the reason land is valuable in the real world is they're not making any more of it. There's only so much land. But if the metaverse is the true metaverse and it's infinite, you could create whatever, then how is land going to have any value?
Maybe it's more about what it's not a geographic concept of land, but it's like what's accessible with where you're located. Because, you know, like they're showing, like, oh, you can regenerate here and you can create. I had a good thought about this while I was watching it, like how the difference between the people that could buy all the tricks and gadgets to try and win the game versus the people that earned them by skill. So you could buy all the tricks and gadgets, you could spend all this money, but still be no good and lose all that money that you spent on those gadgets. So I think it's more like it's a good question about the real estate, because it's less about having a place and more like, because, like, I don't know, like that they had like that one, the one large character had like a workshop. And so how do they have that? Cause like you get coins, you know, you get coins and then you could buy this space. That's a good question. Why can't you just have anywhere that you can teleport to or what have you?
Yeah. Because
I teleport back out of it.
I read in some article, like Snoop Dogg, for example, is already buying up real estate in the metaverse. And because he owns this plot of land, the neighboring plot of land now has value because somebody would like to live next door to Snoop Dogg. But you know, if I could teleport within, what does it matter? You know, if I could live somewhere else within the metaverse, I could just teleport to Snoop Dogg's neighborhood and walk around in front of his house. I just don't understand.
Yeah, until the metaverse cops tell you to fuck off.
Yeah. Well, that leads
maybe
me
to... Maybe they're exclusive areas. Like, in this chunk of land, think of it like subdivisions or gated communities. In this area, these things are available. So if you just put your house up or your land, you just create a acre of land anywhere, maybe you can't teleport. Like, I'm just from my basic video game knowledge, like, oh, now I have to travel across this whole map on foot because I don't have an easy, like a fast travel location here.
Okay.
So yeah, maybe that's why, like, here.
Hours to get to where you want
within,
go.
Yeah, or just within this area of the metaverse, this open subdivision, you buy land, and now you have that ability to transport quickly, much like living by a train station.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense.
You know, maybe the idea of the teleporting to another location isn't just so readily available, and you also have to earn that.
Mm-hmm.
Or you also have to pay for that, and maybe that's really expensive. So living, you know, it's like paying to live near your job or paying for a train pass and living out in the suburbs kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay.
We're helping ourselves through this one, Dave.
I mean, I really am. Well... just since the last episode, I've done a little more research, and combined with watching that movie, like, I'm into it, man. This is very interesting. Like, for example, I had this idea. I was reading about, you may have heard, I don't really know who Travis Scott is. I know he's a rapper, but I couldn't name you one of his songs. But I don't know if you heard, I think it was last year sometime, he was the first artist to do, like, a big virtual concert. And apparently 21 million people viewed that concert.
How many avatars got trampled at that concert?
I did hear about that story, too. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, that guy sounds like a real piece of shit.
But it made me think about this question. Like, all right, so 21 million people got into, I don't know which metaverse, but, and again, we could talk more about that, how some of them you can kind of traverse different metaverses. But anyway, somehow 21 million people signed up and watched that concert. Will there come a day where we as comics stop touring and only do virtual shows?
I'm sure that's, I mean, I think it was Jenny Yang, stand-up, was doing comedy in Animal Crossing.
Really? Okay.
Was like setting up shows in Animal Crossing. So you have your, I tried to play it a little bit. It wasn't my thing. Maybe I'll give it another chance because I know people are nuts about it. But yeah, your avatar goes and then another avatar is performing stand-up in this little area.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of a Zoom show, it's like, oh, no, here's my little character and I hear everybody laughing. And, you know, why not? I mean,
I think that could be fun. Much more fun than a Zoom show. Because if you could, all right, you know, hypothetically, I build my own avatar, whatever that looks like. But then you could also design the club or the venue and make it look exactly how you want. And then it's really my voice and really my jokes in real time, in virtual time, doing them. And then people just, you know, log on or sign in, whatever. I don't know what the terminology is, like an old man. Log on to the interweb. But I don't know. I think that could be fun.
It's, I was going to tell you, you got your own little office. You're just sending me more pictures of it.
Yeah.
What if we get you like a gaming PC in there, and then we get you into some of these, we get you into like us playing Phasmophobia, which is, you know, has the feel of a VR game, but you're playing it with the controls, but it has the look of a VR game, and it's fun and it's scary. Get you a Twitch stream going, Dave.
Yeah.
Dave plays with the bleeps and bloops.
Because quite frankly, I think I alluded to this last week, I'm getting a little burnout on touring, just the inconvenience of it, just dealing with knuckleheads and the whole DIY approach to it. So like the idea that I could just stay home and do new material, put on new shows, whatever, in a virtual setting and make, like I said, make the venue, all the things that some clubs do wrong, like correct all those, make it a very inviting atmosphere. And the only problem is, too, as a comic, you wouldn't want to just do, like, your hour. Because I feel like, well, I don't know. You might have the same problem, like, once you release your hour. But I'm saying, I feel like doing smaller sets where you don't blow your whole wad. Like, you know, hey, every week I'm doing a 10-minute show. And that might help with people's ADHD. Just, hey, pop in. Here's 10 new minutes you may not have heard. Like little mini shows.
It's already... Can live comedy thrive in the metaverse? Austin startup says yes, it can.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it can.
So somebody's already there. Yeah.
Oh.
Somebody's already there. It's called Failed to Render. There's a metaverse comedy club.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it of course it's gonna. People are going to try and take anything from the real world. And then, like I was saying, so you saw, like, people just had the gloves and the goggles, but then you can get the whole body outfit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were showing there, so you can feel pain. You can feel, you know, horny or whatever. You can get that metaverse boner that we were texting about.
Yeah, that was my question. When the main character was kind of flailing around with his lady Gunter friend, I thought, you know... I wonder if you can get aroused in the metaverse and how that would work.
Well, you're wearing a suit.
Yeah, put some goggles on your junk, some sensors.
Yeah, well, I mean, just over the jeans finger banging, man. Like an ELO concert in there.
Oh, what's worse than over the jeans finger banging? Let me just poke your general area.
Over here. Over here scratching at my Wranglers during a Neil Peart drum solo at this Rush concert.
Oh, my God.
I think, I had a good thought, but I wanted to get another music reference into what music would be played if you're getting your junk blasted through Wranglers.
I know. I did it to 90s alt rock.
Yeah. Like, I was trying to, I was checking my plums through these Jordashes.
Were you ever in that phase sexually where that was the goal? There was some time in my teenage years where, like, I knew I was probably not ready for actual sex. So that wasn't, and it was like, you know, something I'm not going to pressure anyone into because I don't even know, you know, I had doubts in my own abilities being inexperienced, but like I can remember, like, oh, the goal is to let's see if we can get a little finger bang action. Like, that was
my shit was a mess, dude. Yeah. So I don't even know. I think I probably broke a finger trying to get underneath an underwire bra once.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, it was a disaster. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to,
yeah, me too. I'm sorry.
Any of the young ladies that had the, be on the receiving end of my early fumbling.
I didn't know anything about anything. It was all just blind exploration. Let's see what this feels like. But,
better than learning everything from porn now and just jumping in like, how about we do all this? Slow down there, hotshot.
Oh, man. Well, I was also thinking, like, the concept of crime and or consequence inside the metaverse.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know how, like, right now the internet, specifically comment sections, are hot garbage because everybody's anonymous. And, well, they're not anonymous per se, but, like, well, yeah, you're basically anonymous on a comment section or whatever. And how that just opens the door for terrible behavior, terrible takes and comments. How's that going to work in the metaverse if everybody's anonymous, you know, you have an avatar. And I was reading a little bit about the decentralization, that concept about how nobody really regulates or oversees the metaverse. So, and that's for some people, that's part of the appeal. You know, like we said, just being anonymous, creating an avatar, being anything you want to be. But
yeah,
are there consequences, you know, or, I'm assuming some of these regulations, like you can get kicked out or banned the same way you can with social media.
Yeah, that, I mean, the comment sections don't go through a vetting process, but so many other things online go through a vetting process. You know, if you talk too much shit on Twitter, you'll get bumped off of Twitter. You can always start another. I'm sure that I bet now is this to really talk about something that I don't understand. Is this where this whole blockchain technology comes in?
Yeah.
To be, you know, and from then this is, yep, way out of my depth on this one.
I don't quite understand it.
But that's how it, like, that's how it, that's how the validation of a Bitcoin is, or the, you know, whatever the shit. What's it called? What are they called? What's all the money called that's not real?
Cryptocurrency?
Yeah, thanks. Jesus Christ. Hey, I couldn't remember cryptocurrency, but let me explain blockchain technology. Wow, Jesus. But you know, that's the vetting process to prove that this is real and therefore holds the value it says it has.
Okay.
And so I feel like maybe that's, you know, like in the one there, it's like, well, yeah, the real world consequence is that you work hard to build up all these coins in a video game type way. But then if you get killed or do something, somebody, you know, but if somebody kills you, what's the consequence? Like, how do they get in trouble?
Yeah.
Maybe just like in the real world, there people will be employed to be security or law enforcement or be employed in that metaverse to do the same thing. I mean, I feel like it can all be mirrored. Like some of the social structures are mirrored within it, but then there's also fantastical elements. A lot of good questions, Dave. I am struggling to answer for you, buddy.
That's all right, like, buddy.
Well, yeah. Who's going to give you a ticket for flying your dragon too close to an Arby's? You know, I don't know. Like, is there just dragon police, or is that animal control, or is there sky cops? I have no idea. I don't know. But maybe it doesn't matter. Fly, blow up the Arby's. Who gives a shit? It's the metaverse.
Yeah, like when you
make Arby's in your house, you could turn your hands into Arby's.
Well, I think that's already happening in terms of like just verbal abuse. Like,
yeah,
I was reading some article and they're just talking about how there's already been people being just verbally abused and sexually harassed and that kind of stuff. But I don't see how you could do any damage other than that, other than like verbally and psychologically. Like, yeah, you could get on there and be an asshole, but there's no physical dangers inside the metaverse, is there?
I mean, unless it's somebody hacking into your account and stealing the money that you've put into it, like a bank account. You have it maybe in your metaverse account, so you can spend currency on the things that are in there. Or, you know, the way they were saying that these suits can, maybe you get these suits or the goggles and the things that, so you can, I would like to feel a certain amount of pain, but not, you know, I would like to play this UFC game, and I would like to feel a 6 on a scale of pain to enjoy it. I mean, you see the race car games where you sit in the car and they rattle you around and shit like that.
That's a great idea, man. Yeah, like, let me experience what it's like to pass out from a rear naked choke, but let me only experience 10% of the normal pain.
Yeah, a mild consequence to make the game a little more interesting. That's, you know, that's the virtual part of it. But then you're going to, yeah, what's the legality in the real world? So I'm like, yeah, I made this suit that you put on to do virtual reality. Also, if someone stabs you, the suit will cut you. Like, they're not going to put that out there. So I don't know about the physical aspects, except for, like, now that was put in the movie, sorry, I know it's a book, but I'm going to call it the movie, about the one character's dad who worked for that main, like, the overlord company, that
IOI,
yeah, that he had to go to their, what were they called, loyalty camps?
Yeah.
To pay off his debt, and then got physically ill in the real world. and could never get out from under his debt and just died. Boy, that already sounds like the regular world anyway. in a private healthcare society. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the same thing. Like, oh, you just owe us.
Yeah.
So I was trying to think of like what that IOI is like. They create the technology to do this, but they're also like a bank or a debt says like you buy everything from them. And they're like the canteen on a military base. I was trying to figure out a good comparison to the real world. Like, I think they're more just like banks and, you know, here's money to do this. Oh, you're in debt because you lost. Mm-hmm. Just come to our camp and work it off. You know, it's worth a rewatch.
I wonder if you'll be able to buy real world merchandise in the metaverse. Like, for example, instead of getting on Instacart and just picking out your groceries, might it be fun to go? Listen, I'm answering my own question while I'm saying it, but like, to go virtually shopping, like groceries, maybe not a great example, but like I wouldn't mind going into a record store inside the metaverse and thumbing through their inventory, picking out what I want, paying for it, and then it gets mailed to me in the real world.
I mean, why not? That's just putting creating a metaverse structure for eBay.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of scrolling on your computer monitor, you walk into their virtual store.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Same thing with like virtual offices, like, you know, with the rise of people working remotely,
mm-hmm.
are we soon going to have virtual offices inside the metaverse where you're sitting in your cubicle
in the metaverse? I think they already
do. Your coworker.
I think they already do.
You got a coworker next cubicle, like a magical rhinoceros in combat armor.
But that's the thing. But that's exactly why. Like,
uh-huh.
So you don't have an office. You have a floating orb surrounded with comets and mermaids or whatever the fuck, but you're still working.
Yeah.
You still have to do your job.
Still got
to
crunch those numbers.
The whole point of that place existing and being popular is because the regular world sucked. So the whole point of you going to pick out a record, you would still you'd still go back to the place that you have in the metaverse and put that virtual record on and listen to it. You can get it delivered to you. Why? You're living in this primarily. Yeah. The idea is that you primarily live in this world and they're just creating all the same things that you have here, but also let your imagination like, oh, you could be whatever. Like they're saying the people that speak highly of this saying it could eliminate racism and sexism is because you can be whichever character you want to be. Uh-huh. And therefore your attachment to the other someone you meet there is based purely on what you know about them.
Yeah.
And not a physical trait.
Yeah.
Or standards of what's attractive. You know, I'm like, oh, that's a pretty wild concept. People, you know, people fall in love over like long distance, you know, your old Sleepless in Seattle could be looked at as an origin story for the metaverse kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, sight unseen, just over somebody's thoughts. I mean, granted, of course, it's a romantic comedy, not really grounded in reality, but people do that now.
Yeah.
People are doing that now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Ooh, what about virtual food?
That's where I'm saying you're going to get.
I'd love to eat a rack of ribs in the metaverse and get those same sensations and endorphins and it not go to my real world gut.
Maybe that's what I was saying last week is like, you're getting fed IV or you're getting whatever the snow piercer, bug bars, you know,
I never saw that movie.
That's a good, I mean, I'm not going to say you have to, but that is a different version of what the future might hold. That might be a good piece to go along with Ready Player One is here's a different way that this world could go is that. To combat, I'm going to screw it up. I think to combat climate change, they put out somehow they froze the earth over, and the only thing that's surviving is this train that is in constant motion, and that's the only thing that left out of society. And all the poor and the people that keep the train working live in the back of the train.
Hmm.
And each car is like, this is the greenhouse. This is the livestock for like all, it's an all encompassing society just on this train.
Interesting.
It's a good one. It's a good one, man. I'll tell you, it's a good combo with Ready Player One.
Okay.
But yeah, so they just, they just feed the poor people just, it's the bug protein.
Mm-hmm.
The gelatinous bars made out of roaches. Ugh. But maybe that's what we eat in the future, but you don't even know that because the texture is going to match whatever the metaverse suit is telling you it is.
Yeah. Like, yeah, what if there was some mouthpiece, like, I don't know, something as simple as, like, remember those Listerine breath strips, like LSD tabs? Yeah. You put this little non-invasive tab on your tongue, and then you chow down at whatever virtual metaverse restaurant you want, but you still somehow can taste it, and you somehow get full, but it doesn't go to your, it doesn't affect your real biology.
But that's what I'm saying. It might just be these, you'll get the nutrients. Uh-huh. Like somebody in a coma gets fed through IV.
Okay. Oh, so yeah, okay. You get the actual nutrients. That way you don't have to go eat dinner in the real world.
And also because if you live in the metaverse, you're not really going to need muscle. I mean, this is turning, you just are becoming the Matrix batteries,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah. It's insane how complex this could be. And it's interesting in that, you know, we're kind of at the ground floor of it right now. It's just starting. There's no telling where it's going to be in 20, 30 years. Like we said last week, try to explain the internet to somebody back in 1975. Be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. I think that there are people that are already there, that are already so enamored with the idea of creating their own reality, virtual reality.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the suggestion was great for the people saying we should have watched this because it really did explain, like, yeah, think like now you might not live in a stacked trailer park, but you also might not be happy. Like, you don't make friends at school. You're not particularly social because of, you know, who you are. Maybe you're self-conscious about your looks or your body or something. Here, create however you want to look.
Yeah.
But then somebody else made a good point. I don't know if it was in the Reddit or if it was somewhere else I was reading. Well, if everybody gets to look attractive, then what's really attractive?
Yeah, true.
But I think that's because that's the first generation of people still basing the idea of attractiveness on what they know from the physical world.
Uh-huh.
I think, you know, you already got, you know, the weird anime people horny for anime characters that can't get horny for humans anymore.
Yeah.
So I think that will solve itself where, maybe not solve itself, but the diversity will happen pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you're like, oh, in the real world, yeah, I would never like, I don't know, fuck a stork, you know? But now I'm in
yourself.
The... How about I drop the baby off in you? but, you know, you're like, well, I already showed up and I'm a rainbow trout. So let's get it on, you know, like, so that's the beauty of it. Is what I'm saying.
What would you, if you could create your own avatar, what would it look like? What changes would you make? What upgrades?
Well, that's what I thought was funny about the movie is that, like, the big boss guy, because he doesn't care about that, just made himself look like a big boss guy.
Yeah.
Like, had no imagination to it. Yeah,
that was fun. Well, even the main character, his avatar wasn't very far off from his normal appearance.
Yeah, you could tell he, like, enjoyed, like, how about this outfit? How about that outfit?
Uh-huh. Where and, his friend is like, I'm going to be a 9-foot ogre.
Yeah. Yeah, you get to choose to be that. And then... You know, say what you will about T.J. Miller's personal life. I thought he was very funny in that.
Very funny. when he's talking.
I wish I would have been able to see what the real life counterpart. That's what got me. Like, what is the this orb that does something is also part of the game then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't quite understand that.
So that's what the video. Yeah, I was getting a little bit like, this is fun. I'm not going to worry about it too much. But so I wish I would have seen. It was fun to see people's real world counterparts. I wish I would have seen. Did they show TJ's character in the real world?
I don't think so. I kept waiting for it, but I don't think they did. They might have, now that I think about it.
Or maybe that's an because the whole thing is Easter eggs. The whole thing is 80s Easter eggs. Mm-hmm. You know, like every little bit, even the sounds, like, oh, that's the Back to the Future sound, not just the car. Mm-hmm. But, oh, that's from this, that's from this. And that made it fun. I'm sure that's what bothered people, that, like, if you read it and how that really translated in the book.
Yeah.
Versus them having to make a movie to appeal to everybody.
In that opening scene when they're playing Van Halen's Jump, before I understood why, I was like, well, that's an odd choice for like a futuristic movie.
Yeah. But I call me a simpleton, but when a movie, like being in the movies and like especially going to a movie and they show like the Paramount logo or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it starts with like a big rock song and great opening scene. I'm on board immediately.
Yeah, I'm down.
Dude, the Jackass movies, those fellas know how to start a movie. Like just a rock song and some crazy shit out of the gate. Thank you for that. Thank you for making me excited that I came to the movies today.
I think if I made my own avatar, it would... I'm pretty pleased with what I got going on. I'd probably make it similar to my normal appearance. I'd have a smaller gut, but I would be able to whistle. I'd make sure I could whistle and maybe do like cool backflips. Those are two things in real life I can't really do. I've always jealous of people that could whistle really good, especially like the call whistle. Like, you know, you're getting someone's attention, you know, from across the parking lot.
That's the two things in the real world.
Yeah, everything else is solid, dude. Everything else is on point.
I'm trying to breathe underwater.
I just want to whistle. And I'd love to be able to do backflips at will. That'd be fun. I had a buddy in middle school. Shout out to Michael Williams. He was a smaller fella, but he's real like nimble and athletic. He wasn't an athlete, but he was like a skater and stuff. But he could we'd just be standing in the lunch line. He'd just standing still, do a backflip. Standing backflip, just bam. It's like, man, that's rad.
I feel if that's one of those things that you can do at will, you know you're just going to pop that one off at a party or something. Mm-hmm. I wasn't around anybody who knew how to do those, so I never saw one in the wild.
Yeah.
So that's it? You just want to whistle and backflip?
I mean, that's a start.
It's a start. Oh, okay, all right.
But speaking of which, that reminds me. I forgot who it was, but recently, you know, the basketball tournament's been going on for a couple weeks, the NCAA tournament. And I think it was
from that's why there's no hotels in Spokane. We had to stay an hour outside of the city.
That makes sense. There was some, maybe it wasn't the basketball. Maybe it was like an interview for like the draft. There was some athlete. I don't know if it's a football player or a basketball player, but he's being asked like a series of just kind of arbitrary, like personality-based questions. And somebody asked him, if you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be? And he takes this long pause. And he's like, a bigger dick, I guess. It's just so funny, like in the context of like a press conference or an interview.
I mean, just
being honest,
good for them. Good for them for not going with the I was trained how to publicly speak to uphold the honor of my team. No, I'm going with I want a bigger dick.
Yeah. Oh, and there was another interview. There was a similar type situation where I think this player had played his last college game. You know, so and that's always kind of a sad moment for like senior athletes and who aren't going on to the pros. Like, all right, this is the last time I'm ever going to lace them up. And he said something like, what are you going to miss most about your experience here on campus or whatever? And he's like really like tearing up. He's really bummed out and sad. And he's like, I don't know, man. Just going out to eat. He's going to miss going out to eat.
You can still do that, buddy.
Yeah, you can still do that.
You still take yourself to Longhorn every other Tuesday?
You guest pass on campus or something. You come back, eat at the mess hall. But yeah, he was like brought to tears. And then he goes, going out to eat.
He's put on the spot. Think about that. Well, that's what I'm saying. Think of how many dumb, huge hogs are going to be in the metaverse.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody's going to have like a 3-foot dick. Like, ha ha. Just coming out the bottom of their pants. Yeah, if everybody's dick's huge, then.
Maybe it's, yeah, then nobody's is.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where maybe it's cost prohibitive. Maybe they're like, oh, you want the 3-footer? It's this much. And it's useless. Nobody want it. You just, good for you. You got the joke dick. You bought the joke dick.
Oh, my God. I'm excited, dude. I think I'm going to pivot and just do comedy in the metaverse.
Let's get you a gaming rig. Mm-hmm. It wasn't shit, man. I figured out how to set it up for Twitch and everything. Wasn't that tough. Get one of these. We start doing Twitch. It's close to it. It'll be mm-hmm. close to it.
Yeah.
I don't know how the avatar, like if you got to have the suit on for the gestures or if it's like a camera that just sees you moving and then puts it in the program and replicates the gestures. I'm not sure. I know they were doing some comedy show like you were live, but then there was screen instead of it was like live Zoom, if it makes sense, where mm-hmm. like you were just looking at. You know, like a NASA wall of TV screens with different people on it watching from home. And you're still performing to.
Okay.
You're standing there on a stage performing, but they were all tuning in virtually.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I wonder how much money got lost on people planning for the pandemic. And now it's open again. Or if they're pivoting into like that was okay. Right back into a Boogie Monster topic. That was like, all right, what if this was preparing us to be inside all the time? What if the pandemic was there to prepare us for something like the metaverse?
Yeah, man. I've thought of that. Just conditioning us.
And we're sitting here right along with it. That might mm-hmm. be cool, man. I might be doing that. All right. Yeah. That may be the Matrix is real, dude.
It's crazy. Who knows, man?
Wow. Got weird, man.
Hey, I got a recipe real quick. I'm going to recycle a recipe.
Let me throw, before you do the recipe, mm-hmm. let me throw in the...
Oh, right.
I got asked by one of the folks at Starburns. So full disclosure, was asked to plug this. Happy to do it independently of being asked.
Mm-hmm.
The Valley Heat podcast.
Good people involved.
All fantastic comics. It's like the Unpodcast because mm-hmm. it's basically the idea. It's a fella, Doug Duguay, and he just lives in Burbank and he just talks about what's happening over there. The first episode is just that his pool guy washes his truck in his driveway while he's cleaning the pool, and his wife's yoga instructor sends her the mermaid emoji, which he thinks is inappropriate. And I'm not going to give away much more than that. But it's a real fun listen. So it, Valley Heat podcast.
Is it fiction or nonfiction? Yeah.
It is. I believe there are slight elements of perhaps the real world, but it okay. is. It is just Christian Duguay just sitting with a microphone, just talking dumb shit, and it's great. making up things about his Rancho equestrian neighborhood in Burbank. But so full disclosure, we're asked, but I would plug it anyway. It's a great time. I'll listen to it today.
I was in Burbank this week. Took a visit over to Chili John's.
Ooh, I like that Chili John's.
I like Chili John's. It's solid. It's not mine, but it's solid. And I like the layout. It's set up just like a bar. Just they don't even have booths or tables, just one big horseshoe
counter.
Just saddle up to the counter, and then they got all their different chilies there in the middle.
Yeah, they got I was there for a show or something, and they just got one big vat. They got an ore, like a big ore that they stir it with.
Hell yeah.
That's got to be tough to get flavor right when you're working with a vat.
Yeah.
Like what? Oh, a pinch more salt? Like what does that translate into when you're dealing with 30 gallons?
It's like when Kramer was cooking for the Jewish singles mixer. And it was awful. It was awful food. He goes, well, the recipe was for 4 to 6 people. I had to multiply for 82. I got confused.
Is that the one where Frank Costanza, it just the way he says it, like he's eating something, these eggs, I make them the way you always make them. Well, it sucks.
It sucks.
It hooked me. So I've seen them all.
Yeah.
But just, well. It sucks.
And Kramer's
trying
to
that to be my ringtone.
Well, it
that's
sucks.
Still a thing.
Kramer's trying to convince Frank to cook for the Jewish thing because he was a cook in the military in the war, and then he's been scarred. And finally, that scene you're talking about when he finally declares that his wife's cooking sucks, then he runs back over to Kramer's house. And I never knew what he meant by this. For years, I didn't know what this reference was, but he just bangs on the door and Kramer opens it. He goes, you got T-Fowl? And he goes, let's go. T-Fowl is a brand of cooking wear. Yeah. I never knew what he meant by you got T-Fowl.
I'm going to see where the sample lands us. Hold on. That's too long. Okay, go ahead.
Your meatloaf is... Well, it sucks.
All right, that probably didn't translate, but...
It sucks. Man, talk about one of the best tertiary characters in television history, Frank Costanza. So good. Him and Newman.
You just dropped tertiary correctly in there.
Uh-huh.
I'm proud of you, Dave.
Yeah.
And roll us into that recipe. Roll us into that recipe, you thesaurus reading motherfucker.
I got a recipe. I was trying to do that Zach Galifianakis joke. He drops a big word like that, and he's like, yeah, I just got and I'm not going to think I can do it justice. He got a word of the day calendar, and the word that today's word was not the big word he dropped, but it was just some mundane small word that he also used. Mm-hmm. That's how comedy is. That's why it's funny, Dave. Just break it down. And remove all the funny parts. Anyway, I'm recycling a recipe because I, ironically or coincidentally or oddly, I've had 4 people this week reach out and ask if I had written this recipe down from a previous episode, and I have not. So I don't have it. I mean, I could write it down and email it to you, but I just at the time that they inquired, I hadn't done that. So I'm just going to repeat a recipe: garlic noodles. A few months ago, I talked about how I made these garlic noodles. Now, I'll just do the basic garlic noodles this time. Previously, I think I included the scallops. I added some scallops. You could add scallops. You could add crab. You could add shrimp. You could add any type of seafood you want. But I've also made this just the noodles, and it's delicious. But, yeah, so garlic noodles, get you a 1/2 pound of linguine. Boil that up. And somebody made a good comment. I think previously I mentioned that I always put a little oil in my water so that the noodles don't stick together. And while that does work, I learned that at Applebee's, by the way, 20 years ago. And I can't believe that my Applebee's techniques aren't true to form. They made a good point. Like they'd always tell me to put oil in the water so the noodles don't stick. And it works. It does that. It doesn't make them stick. But what it does is it makes them too slippery for the sauce to adhere to the noodles. Someone pointed that out. And I was like, yes, that's a good point, because I've always noticed that when I do pasta and I do sauce, that the sauce doesn't stick too well because the noodles are slippery. So anyway, put a bunch of salt. Yeah, obviously, you salt the pasta water. So just forego the oil, 1/2 pound of linguine, a big boiling pot of water, some salt. Boil that up to whatever the instructions say. Usually, it's like 7 to 9 minutes, what have you. While the pasta is boiling, get you a whole bulb of garlic, just not a clove, but the entire head, the entire bulb. Peel those up, dice it up real fine. Then get you a nice big frying pan or saute pan. Throw you in about 2 tablespoons of butter and 2 tablespoons of olive oil. The butter's for the flavor. The olive oil is there to keep the butter from burning. Before that, mix you up the sauce real quick. The sauce is very easy. Get you 1 tablespoon of soy sauce, 1 tablespoon of fish sauce, 1 tablespoon of oyster sauce, 1 teaspoon of Worcestershire sauce, and a half teaspoon of sesame oil. So, and you don't have to do anything to it. Just throw them all in a bowl, mix them up. Soy sauce, fish sauce, oyster sauce, Worcestershire sauce, sesame oil. Get that garlic going in the pan under medium to low heat. Get it going for about 2 to 3 minutes. You're not trying to brown it or saute it just before it starts to brown. Like usually, you know, in other dishes, I want to get it, you know, just a light golden brown. But just before it starts to turn, about 2 or 3 minutes under low heat, then you add the sauce in. Stir that sauce around for a minute or two.
Sauce.
Then you take that pasta, and you don't even strain the pasta. You just take the pasta directly out with your hands, out of the boiling water. No, use some tongs or whatever. Because you want to get a little bit of that water.
Be a man, grab it with your hands.
Normally, you know, you would get a colander and strain it and all that. But we want just a little bit of that residual water from the noodles to get into the...
Dude, in the metaverse, you could just hold a steak over a fire with your bare hand.
Man, that does sound fun.
Didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
So you got the garlic going for 2 to 3 minutes. Then you throw in the sauce, stir that around. Then when the noodles are done, just take them with a tong or whatever directly out of the water into the pan. Mix all that shit together just for a minute or two. Let it all kind of marry. Then plate it. Then you can add a little diced or sliced green onion. And you can add some Parmesan or some Romano, Pecorino Romano cheese grated on top of there. Boom.
Pecorino Romano.
It's very simple. No proteins in this one, but just... Man, that sauce, all the umami, all those fish sauces and Asian sauces. Oh, boy. That with the garlic and the noodles. Ooh, and maybe you could even throw a little more butter in there at the end, get a little butter action. And like I think I said this before, I never thought to put, like, cheese with pasta. I mean, obviously cheese with, like, tomato sauce and stuff. But, like, I don't know, something about... Just cheese and pasta with no sauce, no traditional sauce. Yeah. It just seemed weird. Like usually you don't put cheese on any seafood type dish or seafood pasta, but yeah,
man, fish,
little Parmesan or Romano cheese grated on there. Ooh, with some green onions. Yeah, nice, simple. I guess that would be vegan minus the butter. Well, the cheese, butter and cheese. But yeah, cheese. You could definitely eat this. Vegans could make some. Adjustments there too, but yeah, just Flavor Town, buddy. Just ooh boy, just those flavors right. Mixed with the linguine. It's good times. Get you some garlic noodles. Okay. Garlic noodles. We got something to plug real quick. We will both be in Eureka, California, May 6th and 7th at our beloved Savage Henry Comedy Club. You'll be the headliner. I'll set the table for you there. So May 6th and 7th, but we also probably going to do a live Boogie Monster podcast one of those afternoons, May 6th or 7th.
Mm-hmm.
So tickets.
We're gonna have a good old time.
I don't know if tickets are available for the comedy shows yet. If not, they will be shortly. And then whichever day we decide to do the podcast, we will then put a link up for that as well.
Just keep it in mind, NorCal.
Hell yeah! What else you plugging? Got anything going?
Let's see. This weekend, we're going to be in Richmond, Virginia.
Nice.
Home of a lot of good Richmond, bands. Virginia. I think I'm at a... So, whatever the... Where am I? What's the comedy club in Richmond? I got to look it up. Why don't you plug your stuff? I didn't figure out my plug appropriately.
I'll be in the Midwest in April. I've got confirmed dates in Indianapolis, Milwaukee, Chicago, Cuyahoga Falls...
Cuyahoga Falls,
Hilliard, Ohio, Cincinnati, Ohio. I believe all the tickets are available now at dumbdavestone.com. The Cuyahoga Falls, I'm not on the website. People have said, hey, you're not on the website. And I asked them about it, even though they demanded that I send in my own flyer and my own poster. And 3 weeks later, still not on the website. I think they have some issues with their web guy. But you can. There's a phone number you can call. You can order tickets over the phone like it's 1988. So, yeah, anybody want to come see me in Cuyahoga Falls, just go to my website. The number will be there on my shows. So, yeah.
I'm at it's the Funny Bone. The Funny first, Bone. It's April 1st and 2nd. Yeah, don't show up Wednesday. That's Huggy Lowdown. I'm not on that show with Huggy Lowdown. I am the day after. So it's Friday and Saturday. Thursday is the Huggy Lowdown show. I'm on the Friday and Saturday shows. The Richmond Funny Bone.
Oh, boy. Comedy clubs, baby.
You're laughing that hard. It makes it sound mean now that I brought up that Huggy Lowdown is going to be playing. Maybe you want to, if you're looking to see Huggy Lowdown, Thursday, this Thursday, Richmond Funny Bone. Friday, Saturday, Kyle Kinane.
I knew his brother, Trevor Lowdown. He was a good guy.
Listen, man. The last name sounds made up.
I need a stage name. There was a butt when I was starting in Atlanta. We had
His full name is Hugless. His full name is Hugless Lowdown.
I used to do shows with Dirty South. I did shows with Food Stamp. I did shows
That's
with.
It's not even creative.
I did a show
it's
with.
It's not even like Freddy Food Stamp. It's
my buddy Faux Show. Faux Show was funny.
I was touring with Sean Jordan. He used to go out with a guy named Chinaman.
Oh, I've worked with Chinaman.
Do you know this Chinaman?
Oh, my God. I've forgotten about Chinaman.
Apparently he has the words Kid Walk tattooed on his forearms.
Oh, boy. I have forgotten.
Commitment to the bit, man. Go for
it. And if my memory serves me correctly, not Asian at all. Is he? I don't think he was Asian.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think you got to have
a
smattering of it for that. Well, let's see how I can ruin my search history on this computer.
Maybe he was Asian. Surely he was Asian, right? Maybe I'm thinking of someone else, but I do remember China.
His Wikipedia is he's born of a Chinese-American mother and a Caucasian father.
Okay. Much like the red Mexican. Hey, I'm a Mexican, but I'm from Kentucky. How about that?
Yeah.
The red Mexican. I'm going to ride a motorcycle.
Really,
on
man,
stage.
If you wanted to get into comedy and you were half something and half something else.
Oh, boy.
Streets were paved with gold for you for a while. Right? Really? Some fucking Mr. Showbiz come by, kick a horseshoe right up your ass if you were from someplace. If your dad was from somewhere and your mom was from somewhere else. Tripping over $100 bills.
Oh my God. Chinaman. This
is not like it's trying to be hidden. This is. Mm-hmm. Well, he is Kid Walk now. It's the artist formerly known as Chinaman.
Right.
Wow. These. these track titles are something.
I can imagine.
All right. Well, I'm not gonna. Hey, if I could leave the guy working out with a big gold chain alone, I'm gonna let Chinaman have his life. You know.
Oh boy. Patreon.com/boogiemonster. $4 a month. If you're not a patron, jump on board. Which reminds me, this is stuff that we can talk about off air. But why the hell not? We need to record a bonus this week, Kyle.
Oh yeah. Okay.
We'll knock it out. Get it done. All right, buddy. This was fun.
Sorry. Good times. I just got down a rabbit hole of. Okay. Wow. All right. Well, I'm not going to keep my mouth shut here. I remember that's this Thursday. Hugless Lowdown is going to be at Virginia Beach Funny Bone. Friday and Saturday, your boy Kyle Kinane. Dave's going to be throughout the Midwest, Cuyahoga Falls.
Virginia Beach or Richmond, Virginia?
Fuck. Richmond, Virginia.
There you go. There you go. Get it right. I think
let me check.
One of those funny bones around that area, it might have been in West Virginia, is where Andy Dick got arrested. He sexually assaulted.
Yeah, I'm in Virginia Beach in August. Okay.
Okay.
Richmond this weekend. Virginia Beach is way down the way there.
RVA.
Yeah, Richmond. I got to.
It's a cool town.
Super confused. Yeah, Avail's from there. All right, man. Sorry. Okay, we got a little lost there, and that's what's going on for me.
That's all right, buddy. All good.
All right.
All right, man. You have a good one. Keep it between the dishes.
You too, man.
And
try our best.
Thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
The Boogie Monster. Starburns Audio, a podcast, a podcast network.